I want to invite you to the book of Romans, chapter 6, as we prepare our hearts for the communion table. Romans, chapter 6, we've been looking at the passage, and it begins with that very familiar concept of what we find in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Where we are today is down in verses 7 through 11. And so if you will drop down in your text to verse 7, we'll begin reading there. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The question is, shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? Of course not. We should not do so. The verses prior to the verses where we are in our text today are a little bit negative. They list the negative reasons. We're going to be looking at some of the positive reasons why we should not continue in sin. This is related to the aspect of the truth that death dissolves all of sin's claims. The death of Christ dissolved all of sin's claims upon him. The claims that are upon him, Isaiah 53:6 identifies. Our iniquity was laid upon him, and so he had to die because of our iniquity. And so his death dissolved the claims of sin upon him for us. But it also dissolves the claims of sin upon us because of his death. And so that's the burden of the text that we'd like to communicate today. The death of Jesus Christ dissolves sin's claims upon you if you are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the communion message. It is the identity that we have in him, in his death, remembering his death until he comes for us. So death dissolves all of sin's claims. But you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm still a sinner. Yeah, you and I are. There is still the sin nature. The question is, how do we relate to that sin nature? And in our text of Scripture, verses 7 through 11, each verse has its own little point that I would like to communicate with you and communicate to you today. Verse 7, there is a new freedom. We have a new freedom from the tyranny of sin and sin's nature. There is new life, verse 8. There is a new principle, verse 9. A new work of our Savior, verse 10. And then a new starting point, verse 11. A new freedom, new life, new principle, new work, new starting point. This newness is really an interesting thing. Have you ever run across or watched a child grow up? And as the child grows up, they learn something new. Sometimes the new things you wish they wouldn't learn. The new temper, you know, the new behavior, the new thing. There's always going to be something new they throw at you. You know, you're feeding them the way they always ate their baby cereal. And all of a sudden it becomes the most ha-ha funny belly laugh thing for that baby to begin to spit it out between its lips. And oh, that's cute the first time. And the second time it's not so cute. Third time you start to get a little aggravated. The fourth time you're saying, look, I've got better things to do. If you want me to come back and feed you, I'll do it later. But to the baby, he's learned something new. So there's something brand new about his life, and he will not forget that new thing. Learning to whistle. A little child gets taught how to whistle, and that little child goes on whistling through life. I remember one Saturday morning, I think it was, Brian had just learned to whistle, and he got up before we did. He's downstairs. We're in bed. And downstairs, we hear him whistling way off tune. And he's whistling to his heart's content, playing something in the playroom. And you just have to say, that's great. That's what kids do. And he still knows how to whistle. It's like riding a bike. The moment you learn how to ride a bike, Dad, watch me. Look what I can do. And you want to show off this new talent. There is an aspect to our passage that is like this. It's saying to you and to me, go back to when your life was new. And remember the new talent that God gave you. What was that? What was it that you so enjoyed to be doing? the first few verses are the things you should not be doing, the reason why these things shouldn't be in control. Now he's saying, because Christ is at work in you, there is a new principle at life. There's a new way of approaching life. There's a new thing that God has done. He's given to you a brand new something that is the way you are to live as a believer. We know that when you get saved, you're given a new nature. The old nature is put on the shelf. It still whispers things to you. There's still the flesh. There's still sin that you deal with daily, but you have a new nature. You're no longer under the tyranny of the old. You're released. It's the old illustration we gave you last couple of times, where there's that bar that removes the power that is supposed to be controlling your life before you're saved, that power of sin. That has been released. But now there's a brand new power at work. There's a new talent, if you want to call it that. You're serving the Lord. You love Him. You want to walk with Him. And so what is it that says, don't live in sin? Should we sin that grace should abound? Absolutely not. What we should be doing is living with this new reality, the new nature at work and effective in us. What was it like when you were first saved? Where the new nature was at work? Oh, you weren't perfect yet. You still didn't know how to work that new nature or understand how it worked. And that's what the Sunday school class was so great about today. You know, this assurance of eternal life. What was it like when you start? How did you have that full assurance? No, not absolutely. But you certainly learned as time went by how it works. And as a bona fide born-again believer, you see that principle at life in your work, at work in your life. And so there your heart is, serving the Lord imperfectly, but still serving, because the nature is at work in you. And so this is Paul's burden of Romans chapter 6. What is it that changed and was transformed? If you're not born again, you won't be able to put your finger on it. But if you truly are born again, you'll be able to look back and say, I remember what that was. For the first time, to be able to commune with God. For the first time, to love Him. I don't know if girls go through this, but I know that guys do. When you're growing up and you start to have, when you actually have your first conversation with a girl and it goes well. Maybe you've never had that yet, guys, I don't know. But it's one of those things where you can look back and say, oh, maybe I'm growing up. Maybe I'm learning how to do what I'm supposed to do. Spiritually speaking, have you been walking with your Lord and living in light of the fact that the new nature is at work? Well, there's a new freedom. Verse 7, we find. He says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, our English translation misses out on a few things for the sake of brevity. The whole idea here is he who has died or is died once for all, died fully and completely. He who has died is dissolved from the tyranny of sin. Why? Because he has been freed from that sin. The word freed is a word that means to be set completely free. And even more so than that, it's the idea of a dissolving, an absolving and acquitting to render and to make righteous. It is a big word, not just being set free, but being set free from tyranny. It's a complete and full thing. You do not have to sin. There's no such thing for the Christian where the devil made you do it. It's not possible. You can't say the sin nature made you do it either. It was a choice. You actually, for the first time in your life, have a choice to do right or a choice not to do right. Because death, the death of Christ, sets you free. When you trust Christ as Savior, you have died in Him and you are set free. You're absolved from the tyranny of sin. A very important concept. We should not return to sin because we're no longer slaves to it. But when we turn the switch back on, if we want to choose to do so, we enslave ourselves to it. It's our choice and we ought not to do so. The Holy Spirit for a Christian grieves him and convicts him when he sins. So he can't continue on in sin. It cannot be a habitual form of life for the Christian because the Holy Spirit is at work. If the Holy Spirit's not at work, and sin is habitual, then it raises the question, are you really truly born again? And finally, God has Christ at work interceding for you. You know, you actually have the power of God at work in your life if you're born again. So no, we shouldn't live in sin that grace might abound. Grace is at work to stop you from sinning. That's the key of what communion is about. God has saved you, given to you a brand new nature that loves to walk with God, that knows how to do so. And that's why I encourage you to think back to those days when you were first saved. What happened? What was transforming in your life? What was new? What was the new nature about? Don't forget those days. Don't forget the treasures of those days. So he says, for he who has died has been freed completely in a perfect tense, freed, and it continues on with that great work that of being free today, unless we put ourselves back under its tyranny. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That first with is the idea of in relationship to Christ. Now if we died in relationship with him, that's that being in Christ. That second with, believe that we shall also live with him, is by means of him. It's the idea of there's a relationship in Christ that continues on to this very day, to this very moment, that your life has to be by means of Christ. Who do you depend upon? Who do you lean upon? This is the new life that God has given by means of Jesus Christ. John 15 reminds us that we're to be branches attached to the vine. Abide in him. You cut the branch off, there's no by means of life anymore, is there? The by means of the vine is gone. So you attach that branch to the vine, and by means of the vine, that branch lives. That's the sum total of how our life is supposed to be. That's the sum total of what the Christian life is designed to be by God's intent and in God's purpose. So, in relationship to Christ, we died. We died to sin. That dissolves sin's power and control over you. The tyranny has been removed. This great power of God is at work, designed to make you live by means of him. Verse 9, the new principle. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Literally, no longer dies. Done. His work is finished. He will not die again. He has accomplished what he came to do. And therefore, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, which is literally up out from among the dead, he will never die again. He died not because of his sin, but because of ours. There's a finality to this verse. This new thing, this new principle that's in play means there's no more excuses to be living a sinful life for the Christian. No more. No more excuses. We're absolved and they're dissolved from us. They're removed because Christ was raised up out from among the grave, the dead. And that's also how we're identified with him. You no longer have to live like an unsaved person did. There is no place for sin in your life that has control over you because you, in Christ, have been raised up from out from among the dead. What a great statement that is. Nobody wants to live in and among the dead. Our vacation time, we passed by the old Case Cemetery, where I think I've shared with you before the beauty of who Isaac and Rebecca were. They were two. He was a Baptist preacher, and his wife was born again in a younger age in Massachusetts. Some beautiful language is written on their graves, and I think he probably wrote her epitaph. It's really quite an astounding thing to stand there next to this preacher who in his lifetime led potentially 1,000 people to Christ, is what the old Baptist Cathcart's Encyclopedia has to say. But you know, there's tombstones of all the church members all buried around where the church used to stand. And you kind of think in terms of it's neat to be there and to know and think about what was done there, but it's not where you belong. You can't stay there very long. You've got to go home and live your life, and there's purpose to life. You have to leave out from among the dead, though they are alive today with the Lord and will be resurrected from that very spot. It's going to be an incredible thing that will happen in the old Case Cemetery. But that's not where we're supposed to live, though there might be things that we enjoy. We are raised up out from among the dead. Saints of God, you stand up from out from among the dead every day of your life. There's a new nature you have. Sin does not control you. There's a new principle at work. There are no longer any excuses, and there is no longer an exercise of lordship over you. Death no longer has dominion over him. Lordship. Sin and death has no lordship over you. Now, we may be living like it does, and we may forget the fact that it doesn't have lordship over us. And we may still hear the old nature whispering to us in our ear, you know, that was fun when we used to do that. Or, you know, you failed. You failed again yesterday, and you call yourself a Christian. All those things that the whispers come from the old nature has got to be removed from your thinking because of what Christ has done. We'll show you in a moment that new starting point. Verse 10, there's a new work. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives with respect to God, or to God. This work of Christ is to break the power of sin. He finished it. He completed the power-breaking work over sin in your life. When you were first born again, that truth began to work in your life. That is why you had learned that new talent of serving the Lord, if you want to call it that. That new desire, that new thirst. It's because God had done that work. You weren't good at it. You're supposed to be getting better at it as time goes by. You're supposed to be growing with the Lord and growing in the Lord. But, you know, once you learn to whistle spiritually, don't stop. Because sin doesn't have power over you any longer. Don't live like it does. Because there's a brand new starting point. And that new starting point is verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a starting point in your mind. There is a thinking process that says, start here. You begin here. When I was a kid, we used to play the game Chutes and Ladders. Remember that game? There was the long ladder, and there was a long chute, and there were a lot of longer and shorter chutes and ladders. And the theory was that as you went down along the path board, you're trying to work your way all the way up to the top, but if you happened to land on a square where there was that chute, you had to go back down to wherever you were from the starting point of wherever it took you. And heaven forbid if you fall on that one chute that is the longest one. But anytime you hit that ladder, boy, it was great. Hit that ladder and climb to the top and up you went. And it was a great thing to go through. And I remember Wonder Bread, and I forget what else was on there, but there's all sorts of things that you were supposed to do to get going up the ladder. The Christian life feels like chutes and ladders sometimes. There are times when you feel like you've taken a step ahead and two steps back, and you wonder why this occurs in your life, and that's why Tim's lesson was so great today. It reminds you that the Christian life isn't always easy, but the beauty of the Christian life is there's a starting point. Where do you start? No matter what chute you hit, you never went back to square one, if I remember right. Maybe square three. I can't remember where that long chute took you. But you have a starting point. What is your starting point? Your starting point isn't off the board back in the land of sin. Your starting point is where God places you as a child of Christ. Reckon yourself to indeed be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is an aspect to our life where we have got to reckon. We have got to begin with the foundational starting point that you are no longer under the tyranny of sin. Potentially that should be something we do every day. Get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm not a slave to sin today. Wow, what can I do? What can I do not being a slave to sin any longer? If you start your day thinking, oh, here we go again, I've got that old nature, and boy, sin is going to find me in 20 minutes. I know exactly what it's going to be. It might be the commute. I don't know what it might be, but there's something that somebody's going to come along and really put a monkey wrench in your day. But saint, if you start your day saying, you know what? I don't have to sin today. I don't have to be a sinner under the tyranny of sin. I get to serve the Lord. Reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin. It doesn't have a hold on you. Oh yeah, you'll still have somebody cut you off on the way to work, and you'll still have the same old problems that work brings your way. Whatever they are, and whatever the long list is, the longer you're at work, you'll find them. They'll still be there, but you do not have to be a slave to sin in the middle of it all. You are redeemed. You have a different starting point. Your starting point is unique because you get to serve the Lord, even in the midst of the same problems. Yes, those things wear you down. Yes, they wear on you. And yes, they grieve the righteous soul of a saint. But believers know this, that God has a new work, which we found just before. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. What's Christ doing today for you? What is he at work? What is God doing for you today? If our Lord died for us, like Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8, if he's done all this, how shall he not freely give us all things? Saints, the Lord Jesus Christ is at work in your life today. Why? So that you don't have to be under the tyranny of sin. So that you can be serving the Lord. What was that like when you were first born again and you learned something new about the new nature? Every day is a discovery day for the saint. How are you going to discover what God has for you? Reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin, but alive to God. And you will discover something new about what the work of Christ is in your life. It is an interesting passage of Scripture, very familiar and very easy to skip over these verses, but the verses, every one of them, have a point about this work of Christ in the newness of life. I want to give you just a few thoughts as we conclude and then turn to our communion table. First of all, you are permanently set free from sin. I know there's still the sin nature, but you're released from its power. You are permanently set free. Don't find an excuse to put yourself back under the power of the sin nature. You're permanently set free with the desire to do right and the power to follow through. That was new when you got saved. Brand new. You are permanently released with the power and desire to do right and the power to follow through. You know, there was a Nancy Reagan used to say that we just should say no to drugs. Remember those days? And I often thought, what does that mean to somebody who's a drug addict? You know, do they just say, well, it's easy for you to say. But yet there's a principle to it that's important. For the Christian, it's not just God saying, just say no. Yet I'm still an addict. God has removed the power, the tyranny of sin. Therefore, we can say no because we have that newfound freedom in Christ. Say no to the sin nature and to the yearning of sin because you have a brand new starting point. And that brand new starting point is that we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. Sin or death dissolves all of sin's claims. Never forget that. What is the newness of life that God has given to you? What does he want to reveal to you because you're being obedient to him? Life with the saint or for the saint is an adventure with God. Let's take a few moments and thank him for what he has done in the cross of Calvary, and then I'll close. Father, thank you for the privilege of being reminded of these simple truths and yet profound truths. We so often get confused in the weeds of our lives that we forget the grand purpose, the grand plan, the grand practicality of what you have at work in us. And the fact that your Son is working today for our sanctification, for our growth, for our accomplishment in him. We often look inside and look at ourselves, and Father, we can't see what we can possibly do for you. And yet help us not to forget what new stirrings happened in our souls when we trusted Christ. What great things you will accomplish because of who you are. So though we may not see the greatness, Father, you know what you're doing. And whatever you do is great. It is perfect and it is right. And so, Lord, let us yield ourselves to you to be servants in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.